Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name's Gavin Berry and I'm delighted to say once again I'm joined by the Daily Record dream team of Andy Newport and Fraser Wilson. Well, guys, Rangers 3, Hibs 1. Now everything turns to Sunday, the high noon shootout, Rangers v Celtic. Third derby of the season and one that will surely go a long way to deciding the destination of this season's league flag. And Fraser, it wouldn't be an Old Firm game without a bit of controversy, and we're only on Tuesday and already we've got it, because in fact Bobby Madden on Instagram this morning, before we start, Bobby Madden on Instagram this morning posted a poll to say who will be the referee for the game. When we published the story earlier this season, it narrowed it down to four, because the two referees who had taken charge this season, Don Robertson and Nick Walsh, he made the point they wouldn't get it. So it had a poll, who's going to get it? John Beaton, Kevin Clancy, Willie Colm or Stephen McLean? At the time we published the story this morning, John Beaton had 43% of the votes. And lo and behold, it's John Beaton. Of course, Fraser, the reason... And Bobby Madden actually put it at the bottom, we'll know around about 10:30 a.m. and he said the internet will get into meltdown, whoever it is.
And he still loves stirring it now, even though he's out the game. He's getting his own back now.
That's what he says. Internet will break no matter who's announced around 10:30. But of course, the internet has broken because John Beaton, who was got the most votes there, the reason being that he was on VAR duty, wasn't he? He was on VAR duty for Hearts Celtic just 4 weeks ago when Brendan Rodgers called him incompetent.
Yes,
along with the rest of the officials that day, he actually named him. He was hauled up in front of to Hampden. He got a one-match ban, one suspended, which meant he sat in the stand for Livingston on Sunday, but he's back in the stand for Ibrox. But John Beaton is a man in charge. So what is your initial reaction to that? Are you surprised that the Scottish Football Association have handed John Beaton the game, given what was the surrounding factors? Or do you think the SFA are almost backing their referee and saying,
definitely backing them, aye, but I'm a surprised, maybe no, because the SFA like to do things like this, don't they? They like to throw wee curveballs in. So I'm not overly surprised, but probably surprised in as much as the fact that the pressure is ramped up, piled on John Beaton 4 or 5 days before kickoff now. I mean, I just sometimes question, wonder about the wisdom behind these decisions.
Yeah.
Don Robertson appointed to the game on Sunday at Livingston, which was the game Rodgers was banned for his rant about the officiating, which he and the incompetence that he questioned. Don Robertson had been the on-field referee that day at Hearts, that controversial afternoon with John Beaton, of course, being in VAR. And now Don Robertson, having officiated, been handed the whistle for his first game after the SFA hearing. We now have John Beaton in charge of the biggest game of them all, the biggest game of the season, for when Rodgers returned to the dugout. Now, let me get one thing straight here. I don't believe that will have any effect whatsoever on John Beaton's or the official decision-making. Not a chance. Mm-hmm. Suggest otherwise is just wrong and completely dangerous, and I firmly believe that our referees aren't that way inclined properly. I do believe that. However, should John Beaton make the slightest of errors, and remember, every player in that park will probably make a slight error, but should John Beaton make the slight error, or God forbid, a biggie, then all hell break loose, won't it? We know how this place works. The only thing I truly hope for on Sunday, I hope and pray for, is that we're not talking about refs, we're not talking about VAR at full time, we're talking about the football.
Yeah, Andy Crawford, Alan, the head of referees, is heading out, as we know, end of the season. Let's say before that Hearts game, you know, a month ago, he had it in his mind. Maybe he was looking forward or you know, they're looking ahead to this game at Ibrox and knowing it's big, and Crawford, Alan had it in his head that John Beaton was going to be his man for that day. I mean, should, given what went on, you know, when Brendan Rodgers said, you know, and then named Beaton, should Crawford Alan then decide, well, no, I'm now not going to, you know, if he thought he was his man for that day, should what Brendan Rodgers said change that thinking?
No, absolutely not. I mean, listen, you can see it from two points of view, in the sense that, just for John Beaton's point of view, I mean, look, we all know what he's been through previously. He's had to deal with some absolutely horrendous stuff. Just doing his job previously, and you know, is there an element that, you know, because of what happened the other week, that perhaps this, it was just wiser, it wasn't necessary to thrust him back into the spotlight like this again? I don't know. I think the SFA will obviously feel, listen, we cannot have clubs dictating who referees their matches. It was wrong when Rangers came out and behind the scenes requested that Willie Collamden was no longer involved in their matches, and it would be wrong if Celtic were to ask the same of John Beaton. I don't think obviously Celtic have went to that extent yet, but I think the SFA have got to make a stand in. It's not down to clubs to pick and choose who their referees are. If the SFA feel that John Beaton's the best man for the job in the day and it's his turn, then they should stick by it. But I can also understand if even John Beaton himself was to decide, given what happened 4 weeks ago at Tynecastle and the furore that's followed it, perhaps this might not be the best occasion for him to referee, to be involved. But clearly, you know, he's clearly taking the assignment on. He feels he's ready to do it. So I think you've got to go with SFA and back their decision. You simply cannot have clubs try to dictate who are the officials for their matches. That's a slippery slope to somewhere where none of us want to end up. So if the SFA decide that John Beaton's a man, then go for it.
Yeah. Because you mentioned the Willie column. Of course, that was going back to when he was on VAR duty for the last stall for him. It wasn't it December 30? And am I right in saying it took until February 10? For him to be handy another Rangers game. So
I think there was a game against St Mirren a couple of years ago where Rangers also, I think he sent off Candeas, I think.
Candeas for blowing kisses, wasn't it? The blowing kisses, yeah.
And Rangers, obviously, I think that was when the first time Rangers raised issues with the SFA over Willie Collum. And again, then I think it took a long while for him to come back in. So again, you know, that comes down to, is it a case of they decided to give him that wee bit of breathing space and allow things to calm down? But have they done that in consultation with Willie Collum? We don't know.
Yeah.
Again, you know, with John Beaton, have they asked him, do you want to be stood down? We don't know, but you know, even if they have, if he said no, I'm ready to go again, then they're perfectly entitled to name him. And, you know, listen, I mean, I'm totally frazzled. At the end of the day, none of us get any football to be talking about referees and dodgy decisions or erroneous calls or human mistakes. I mean, we all love the game because we love the spectacle, the sport. The refereeing side of it, I think, is something that gets overblown at times, and maybe we in our side of the business are as guilty as MD for that. But I think just for everyone, given what's at stake on Sunday, I think we just prefer it was decided by the players on either side rather than what happens in the VAR room or on the pitch with the referee.
Yeah, because social media and is just every second comment is talking about John Beaton, or certainly was, and the decision. But I actually see some Rangers fans saying, oh, this is, obviously Celtic fans are up in arms about it. You know, why is John Beaton getting a game so soon after the controversy at Tynecastle? I see some Rangers fans actually saying this is the worst decision, the worst appointment they could have got, because they now think that John Beaton will be scared to give them anything.
It's brought everyone together then. It's a masterpiece.
But can you understand that Rangers viewpoint, Fraser, that John Beaton might now be ultra conscious of giving Rangers something?
I was looking for excuses before the game's even started. If I was looking for any reason, do you know what? It won't be. It won't. I absolutely believe it won't be. He can't go into games with that mindset. If he was worried that was going to be the case, he would have to take himself out of the firing line. Of course he would.
I'm absolutely sure that the John Beaton won't be paying a single bit of attention to all this. I'm sure he'll not be checking social media. I'm sure to say this will be the one week he won't be reading the Daily Record website or picking up a copy of the paper. He'll be switching off from this all week to make sure that these things don't affect you, because people are human, and we've all seen referees perhaps being swayed by home crowds and things like that, but this is too big a game to allow the mind games and the nonsense to sort of infect your mind. I think I can guarantee that John Beaton will be sort of sitting there and taking himself as far away from all this stuff as possible.
Yeah. Andy, earlier on in the season, Neil Lennon said he didn't think that Rangers had the sort of mentality, or he fancied Celtic, and there was a question over the mentality. A lot of people jumped on that as being, he was doubting them being able to put a run together. But I think at the time he specifically said it was to do with the mental block when it came to playing Celtic. Obviously, Rangers have lost two games against Celtic this season. Going into this game, this is now the test. One point behind, but with a game in hand. Do you think Rangers are ready for this psychologically?
We're going to have to find out on Sunday. Listen, what I'll say is I think Rangers have shown a mental strength latterly that I didn't think was possible in the early parts of the season, because at the end of the day they just crumbled at the first sign of adversity under Michael Beale. Obviously the team then is a pale shadow of the squad that we've seen latterly. I don't think you can overturn a 7-8 point gap and be meek mentally. I don't think that's achievable. But in the day, the job's not finished yet, and this is the crunch. This is where your true extent of your mental strength will be put under stiff examination. Listen, I mean, obviously they've got the benefit of being at home. Obviously, no Celtic fans are going to be in the ground. It's going to be, the conditions will be in their favour.
Yeah,
they have to make the most of that now, and it can work against you. I think we saw that in the opening game of this, the Old Firm game of the season, when they didn't take the early chances they had. Obviously, had a couple of goals chopped off, and then as soon as Kyogo scores, what had been kind of an encouraging atmosphere around the place suddenly turned a bit toxic, and all the frustrations that have been building up with the way that the season had been going under Michael Beale suddenly just unleashed. And I think this is one of the unique things about not having the away support there. All of a sudden, the home fans don't have that target to spend 90 minutes shouting at. They don't have the away support to be sort of jostling with. All of a sudden, the only people they've got to shout at is their own team. And that's what you found. The frustrations, the anxiety just goes, and that works against Rangers on opening day. So I think what Philippe Clement will be looking for is his team to go out there and get an early goal and get the team, get the crowd right pumped up and all going in the same direction. What they don't want is, miss a couple of chances, allow Celtic to get a foothold, and then it just gets a wee bit, angsty. And I think we've seen even times on Saturday there, for example, against Hibs, things get a wee bit angsty at times. The nervousness in the crowd seem to be mirrored by the way that the team is playing and vice versa. So I think, you know, what Clermont will be desperate for is something just to galvanise both crowd and team on the weekend, something early doors just to get everyone sort of going in the same direction.
Yeah. Fraser, when you've been 7 points behind at one stage in the season and then you claw your way back in to the extent where you're only 1 point behind with a game in hand and then you've got a home game against your rivals, if you don't win in that situation, I mean, do you deserve to win the league?
No, not if you. What if you don't win the league in that situation?
I'm saying if Rangers can't take this opportunity, given everything that's going on this season and the opportunity that is now presented to them, if they can't take that, you know, if they can't take that opportunity, then you know.
I hear you, mate. Anything could happen on Sunday. The big thing, I suppose, in Rangers' favour is they only need to win one of these two remaining derbies, so long as they take care of the rest.
Yeah.
Whereas Celtic can't say that. So, no, to answer your question, no. I think if they draw on Sunday, the momentum still stays with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the psychology thing's a massive thing. And I love what Andy said there about the crowd. They've got such a big part to play this weekend because, as he says, if you get 50,000 on your side, that's a huge kind of wave, a huge surge of strength that you get off that. But as you saw in that last derby at Ibrox, if that 50,000 start turning against you, then the legs will go, an old jelly legs will kick in. So it's only a good thing. It's only a positive for Rangers if they keep them on side. And as Andy says, that means getting off to the right start, not falling behind, and attacking Celtic with a proper game plan. So, as I said, no, the momentum is with Rangers. They've looked steely under Philip Clement, and I think can't underestimate the impact that a manager's kind of daily influence will have on these players. You know, that we see it in pressers, the way he conducts himself, the way he speaks. He's clear, he's concise, he carries a weight. And I just imagine that is vital in the dressing room and on the training ground on a daily basis for these Rangers players, that they'll buy into that. And I think that's why there's been this big turnaround and sort of mental strength or just performances, really, for the Rangers. Yeah. More or less the same group of players. I think it all comes from the manager.
Yeah, and the Celtic did have a wobble. You know, they've had various wobbles. They had a few sort of, if you thought the whole thing was going to collapse at one point, you know, but a few sort of late goals and they've just sort of kept hanging in there. Had this game been taking place a month ago, Rangers would have been stronger favourites. You sense that Celtic are just getting some of their bigger players back. They're looking more of an attacking threat. And of course, the closer the game gets, you have, you know, the Brendan Rodgers record in this game. I think, what is it, one defeat in 15? Is that right? One defeat in 15. So do you sense that, you know, the confidence is coming back across the city?
Yeah, of course you would expect him to be the champions for the reason over the last, you know, how many times, the last 11 times out of the last 12 years, I think it is. So, I mean, you know, they've got that bank of knowledge, that bank of experience. Mm-hmm. You're always going to expect a reaction. You know, Old Firm's it's a melodrama, isn't it? You know, you're never quite as bad as some people make you out. You're probably never as good as other people will have you believe. So, you know, Celtic, you know, have been iffy at times this season. Yeah, I mean, you know, the manager himself, I think, will have admitted that. But it's a mark of champions that they've managed to sort it out. But as I said earlier on about Rangers, the job's not done yet. So, you know, there's still eight, nine huge games to go for both teams. Obviously, Rangers with the game in hand. So, you know, I think this is such a big game. It's great just to get into an Old Firm game at this stage of the season where things are still meaningful. You know, so many times where we've been getting into a game in sort of March, April time, and you know, really all you're talking about is, you know, clutching at straws that one team can sort of draw, can sort of pull it back. You know, it's great that we're getting into a game and, you know, everything's on the line here. And, you know, even to honest, I mean, even if one team wins it, that doesn't necessarily mean that the season's over. You know, you obviously still get that last fourth and final game at Celtic Park to come. Post game, the games after the split are always edgy, nervy affairs. So you know, it's brilliant just to actually have a meaningful title race, a title race worthy of the name. So I just can't wait for it. I'm really looking forward to Sunday's game.
Yeah. Andy, you were obviously at Ibrox on Saturday. I mean, the team selection is going to be fascinating. You had a piece this morning with Clement talking about Kemar Roof. We spoke before about Dessers and not having an alternative. You know, we don't know. I mean, how fit is Roof Clement? We're sort of saying he has to prove his fitness. Is there an alternative to Dessers playing an attack on Sunday, or do you think he's the only option?
Listen, I think Cyril Dessers is going to start on Sunday. I don't think you leave Kemar Roof completely out of the matchday squad on Saturday, then somehow parachute him at the starting lineup 8 days later. I just don't think that happens. So, no, I think it'll be Cyril Dessers, and I think Rangers just have to hope that it's the first half Cyril Dessers that you get rather than the second half. And that's the trouble with Dessers, and we've said it all season, is that. Mm-hmm. From one moment to the next, they can have these wild fluctuations in form. I mean, the header, I mean, he comes close to a header just after Hibs equaliser. Sort of gets up off the ground. I think it's a Barisic ball in. Really firm header. Bit straight down Marshall's throat. Marshall tips it over. And then a couple of minutes later, ball from the other side from Campbell, whipped in. And what a finish from him. It's moments like that you think, well, this guy, you know, he is a player. He can contribute something. And then 20 minutes later in the second half, and he's got a huge chance to bury the game. And as I said, to sort of take away some of that tension that was starting to build around Ibrox, and skews a great chance wide from a Tavernier cutback. And those are the things that will just drive supporters absolutely mad because it's just like they just want a bit of consistency that he's playing. It's just not how he is. So, listen, he's had chances in all firm games, you know, most notably that one at Parkhead when he's a year to pick his spots, he's running through and do sort of dallies and dallies and dallies, and I think it was Alistair Johnson getting back in to make the challenge. So I can't see it being Dessers. I think the bigger concerns maybe left back. I thought Borna Barisic earlier on this season was playing about as well as he had done, but then had a bit of a nightmare at Rugby Park and just hasn't had a look in since. Ridvan Yilmaz has been just nailed on, you know, probably one, as I said the last time I was on with you, Gav, that he's probably been the Rangers' best performer since the turn of the year. Obviously picks up that knock in international duty. We reported last week that we understood that he was confident in being available for the game. He would sit out of Hibs, but he was confident in being available for the Celtic match. Clement sort of backed it up and said he's under a chance for the Celtic game, but it remains to be seen. So the thing that I noticed about the game on Sunday is that I thought they were a bit nervy, but as soon as they brought on Dujon Sterling, who's eventually slotted into that left back slot after a wee brief spin in the right wing, all of a sudden Rangers looked far more secure in the ball, look far less susceptible to counter-attacks. And obviously at that point, there wasn't as much onus on Sterling to go and force it as perhaps Barisic was during the first half, when obviously Rangers were looking for an opener or looking to get back in front. But I just felt that he's just such a more... He was a more reassuring figure. And I think there's a nervousness building around Barisic. I think that game at Rugby Park where he really had a bit of a nightmare... has sort of dented the confidence that he'd sort of restored earlier on this season. You know, I thought he had been, very steady, very impressive. And that's why I thought when Yilmaz got in the team, it was a good sign, because if Yilmaz was playing better than Barisic, then that would be a good sign. But I think those are the dilemmas. You know, if Yilmaz isn't going to be fit,
But if Yilmaz is fit, the back five picks itself, doesn't it? So if Yilmaz is fit, the back five picks itself. If not, and Yilmaz fails to make it, it's the decisions to make over Barisic or Sterling. Andy, midfield is often an area where Rangers have lost out in this game. Celtic strong there. Matt O'Reilly, Hatate and Callum McGregor. Hatate had been out. I mean, that's the problem for Celtic. They've been missing sort of key players in that area. Hatate has returned. Callum McGregor hasn't played for 5 weeks. So, I mean, that is an interesting one, although the noises are that midfield three will be back for Ibrox. Personally, I would be surprised if he was thrown straight back into a game like that for the first time in 5 weeks. But regardless of that, the Rangers midfield is going to have a job on its hands, and it's a big area, isn't it? Who are you playing in the midfield? It's Lundstrom's an obvious one. I see a lot of people saying Diamandé possibly too lightweight for a game like this. Maybe doesn't have the physicality.
I think he's got the skill set that it's just, you know, mm-hmm. I think he takes out that need for physicality with his movement, with his awareness, his touch. I think Cantwell, obviously been out for a month, came back and, you know, got a good hour under his belt at the weekend, obviously got an assist. He was in a really good place before he got that injury up at McDermott. So I just wonder, you know, does he perhaps look to stiff him in midfield and just maybe play Diamandé in that 10 role rather than Cantwell, and maybe bring in Sterling and just, you know, put him alongside Lundstrom? Because I think whenever those two guys have played together, they've always looked pretty solid. They've got a good understanding, and they obviously bring that physicality as well. So I wonder if that would be an option. I think Cantwell, again, at Parkhead, really get the run around off of Callum McGregor that day, but then again, it's totally, as you say, it's different circumstances. It's going to be at Ibrox, obviously Cantwell coming off an injury, but, you know, McGregor really just coming. Well, if he's going to start, will be his first game, as you say, in over a month. So it's intriguing. There's some really big calls for the manager to make.
Right. So you think it could be Sterling, Lundstrom, Diamandé? You think possibly?
Potentially, yeah, and then you get decisions to make. Other roles.
Lawrence, man, I would always try and squeeze him into my team. He's a match winner.
Yeah.
It's just about, you know, again, it's the options out wide that are the concern for Rangers this season. You've got to play, you know, McCausland hasn't really caught fire the way that I think a lot of people expected when he first came into the team. You know, Scott Wright obviously started at the weekend. He actually did all right. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Scott Wright starting on Saturday, but I'm not sure many Celtic Rangers fans would be excited, enthused about that. He's just a guy who's had so many ups and downs through his Rangers career that I'm not sure many are convinced by him. But, you know, I think that's the more intriguing ones. I think it'll be Silva off the left. It's the right-hand slot. Might have to be Scott Wright again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Fraser, then just to finish off, we'll just fill the blanks. As Andy says, the wide men are going to be very important. Seema comes on and gets 10 minutes against Hibs, but, you know, he hadn't played since January, you know, when he gets sent home from the Africa Cup of Nations. Matondo comes on, takes his goal brilliantly. So there's options there. But like I mentioned with Callum McGregor earlier, I have my doubts whether he can go straight into a game like that. Obviously, Seema has been out for much longer, although he did get the 10 minutes on Saturday. You know, would you start with someone like Seema, or do you bring him off the bench on Sunday?
Having not seen him, obviously, Philip Clement knows better than any of us what level he's at. I would be tempted to start him. I mean, he was Rangers' most dangerous player for the first half of the season, at least, before his injury.
Absolutely.
There's always a temptation to just gamble and put him straight in there. And then what, he could move Silva onto the right, is that what you're saying? I would be tempted to go with that. If Seema was showing all the signs that he was ready to at least give you 55-60 minutes, I think I'd be tempted to do that. It's too big a game not to take the risk.
And do you also think psychologically, is that kind of, do you think, you know, if you're starting somebody, you know, who's been so effective that it can give everyone a lift, and, you know, possibly, you know, the opposition are looking at it. Do you think that can be a factor
as well, wasn't it?
Sorry?
A curveball with Celtic, maybe Celtic wouldn't expect, that they'd have to deal with it as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did get I mean, he obviously did. He did. It wouldn't be the biggest shock with him having come off the bench, you know, on Saturday. Andy, I mean, do you think they would risk? Do you think he would throw him in from the start, or do you think
coming off the left, he was Rangers' best player, I thought, in an attacking sense for the first half of that season. And I don't know, has he scored 13, 14 goals from that position? I think that'd be a risk well worth taking.
Yeah, I mean, it looks sharp enough. Rick, when he had a big chance, one of the last sort of kicks of the ball, sort of dragged it a wee bit wide on his right foot. Listen, I think Silva's earned. I mean, I didn't think Silva was great at the weekend, but I think Silva's earned the right to start the game, and you know, it'd be interesting because we haven't seen Silva against Celtic yet, so it'd be interesting to see how that dynamic would work. Sort of him sort of going up against Alistair Johnson. I would tend to think he would stick by that. I've got a funny feeling it'll just be sort of much the same as it was at the weekend in terms of the two wide spots. I've got a funny feeling it'll be Scott Wright and Silva, and then Rangers can, you know, if the game's still there, it'll be won in the final 15-20 minutes, and they've got those options, you know, Seaman and Matondo coming off the bench.
How do you see the approach, Andy? Do you think it's going to be kind of front foot, you know, take the game to Celtic, you know, as opposed, you know?
I think they learned a lesson from that. Yeah. The first game of the season where they stood off them.
That was the point.
As I've seen, you know, in terms of, you know, I was talking earlier on about the importance of taking the crowd with them. I mean, Rangers sort of, you know, that day was a Celtic team that were really there for the taking, in the sense that the centre-back pairing was so untried, untested. Scales and Lagerbelk, I think it was that day. So, you know, and Rangers just never really laid a glove at them, never really got at them. And you think it was just such a missed opportunity. So I think for Clement's own sake, to avoid, listen to me, he's had a fantastic start so far, but this is, you know, so did Michael Beale, and it was his failure to make a mark in Old Firm derbies that that's where the doubt started to seep in. And, I think Luke Clement has already proved himself to be a far more adept manager than Michael Beale, but in terms of not allowing those same kind of doubts to creep in, he can't afford to die wondering here. I think he has to, you know, be on the front foot, look to make the most of the home advantage and impress that home. You know, there's confidence there. They've got no reason to be wary of this Celtic team other than just the normal respect they would have for an opponent of this standing. I think they have to go and look to take the game, treat it like a European game where, you know, Rangers have went up against sort of more fancied opposition at home and taken the game at them time and time again and get results recently. So I think they have to take the same approach. I just don't think the crowd will accept them sitting back and try to play counter-attacking football at home when there's no Celtic fans there. And I think that if they do that, then you get the recipe for things. If they don't go well, and again, that's when things, you know, things can turn a wee bit ugly in terms of how the crowd reacts. So I would be, I think if I was Luke Clement, I'd be looking to go out there and strike an early blow and really make the most of the setting and the scenario that they've got in their favour.
Okay, good stuff, guys. I won't let you go, but without one quick prediction. So what are you going to go for, Fraser?
Rangers win.
Yeah, I need a scoreline. Come on.
2-1.
2-1.
We'll go narrow 1-0 win.
1-0, okay. I'll go 3-1. I'll go 3-1. Okay, right, let's see. We'll no doubt when we convene next week, we'll be getting pulled up. So-called experts is what they... Right, okay.
Another way, another podcast.
I was going to say, Mo Johnston down here, by the way. Is that the Celtic podcast last week? make sure you stand by this when you're on the Celtic one this week.
Okay, very good. Right, thanks, Andy. Thanks, Fraser. As always, for your time, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.
Cheers.